All right, everybody, it is another Toolbox Tuesday. Welcome, welcome. For anyone who has not been with us for Toolbox Tuesday in the past, every Tuesday in our practices, we pick one of our tools in our resource kit to re-review with our team to make sure that everyone is on the same page with all the tools that we have at our disposal.
So what do we got going on right now? We're something that well, we've only had 5-star reviews, so I don't even understand why we're talking about this, right?
We are talking about some of the things that no one wants to talk about, and one of those is bad reviews. This is actually a request that we had was to talk about bad reviews. So we're giving an example of a bad review that we've had in our practices. I think, it's very easy for all of us to be an ostrich and stick our hand in the sand and pretend that there are not bad reviews out there, but that unfortunately is not the reality in which we live in.
It does work though. That's generally been my strategy for
What,
a
just
lot.
stick your head in the sand? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, so for all you doctors out there who stick your head in the sand, ask your front office if you have had any bad reviews recently. But no, and all jokes aside, and having the management of your reviews and your reputation out there in the world is very important because you are going to have the Karens of the world who complain about XYZ, and we respond to every single review that is out there, good and bad. But if it's a bad review, we respond to it. If there's something that we can do to help solve that situation, we want to do that. If there's not, we at least want to honestly call out sometimes some of the reasons why people are posting something completely unnecessarily. And that is the example that I have for our review here, where we had someone who posted a bad review on behalf of a family member who had not shown and given us notice for a canceled appointment multiple times in a row. And the way that we work in our practices is it's a three strikes you're out, right? We're not monsters. We realize things come up, but if you've no-showed or not given us notice after three times, there's a charge for that, which of course this person does not know. So we put that into context and put out our cancellation policies out there in the world.
Which there should be a charge the first time, and that is our policy, but we try not to enforce it because our whole like goal, obviously, for many other people, we're not making any money on cancellation policies, right? It's a deterrent. So, but 3 times in a row, that's abusive.
So, and there's plenty of things out there that people are going to talk about that you have to walk a fine line, of course, right? There's HIPAA laws in place for a reason. You can't get into treatment discussions and they told me I needed XYZ treatment and then I went to another office and they told me I didn't need any treatment. Those are some of my favorites to respond to because I say flat out, like, we're really sorry to hear that you're being told false information. We're more than happy to discuss your treatment with your new provider. If they're not getting treatment with us, that's fine. We want to make sure that they get the treatment that they need wherever that is. And we have all the facts to back it up, right? Here are x-rays. These are our intraoral photos. Our doctors are not over-diagnosing treatment. If you're just looking for the doctor who's going to tell you you don't need any treatment done, you're going to find it. That doesn't mean that that's actually reality.
Yeah, then we use that line even when we're talking about doctors that or doctors that call our office or out front offices that call our office about needing this, that, and the other thing is we if they're going to throw us under the bus, we're going to hit them with the facts, and those facts are really, really tough to deny. And when a patient, we've done this a number of times, when you send a full page picture of someone's crack and then ask why is your new doctor telling you don't need a crown, the patient gets the point pretty quickly, right? Now, obviously, we can't post those things online, can't post those things for reviews, but we can hint or even state that we have those things, right? And maybe not about the cracks, but that we do have the facts. And I think those things go a long way. But what are some of the, Jennifer, what are some of the things that you can and can't say on responses to reviews? Because we've dealt with this for a number of years, just like everyone else's. And a lot of people have made mistakes. We've seen some horror stories, heard some horror stories about people responding ways they shouldn't have. And when you read some of these things, it's pretty obvious that they shouldn't have said certain things as a response because they're calling people out by name and calling people, definitely getting into some HIPAA violation type stuff. But there's a pretty easy formula for what you can and can't say, and it's not very hard. But I think it kind of raises the professionalism a little bit of the responses too, just by the nature of following that formula. So what are some of the things you can and can't say? And then we can kind of get into the strategies on how to respond.
Yeah, I mean, ironically enough, and again, we all have moments and we all have, times that maybe you said something that you shouldn't have, but technically, you are not even supposed to address their specific situation, even though they're the ones that are posting it, because that is confirming that this was the treatment. You were in the office on this day. This was this doctor. This gets back to even with marketing things. You know, if you have a picture on social, for example, of an extracted tooth or a scan of a patient's tooth, and you do not have a photo release, even without that patient's name on it, technically you are not allowed to post that online.
Or that patient's face, right? Even if it's just an extracted
tooth. Even if it doesn't have their face, they could say, that's my tooth. I saw it on the tray and you didn't have my authorization to post that. Right. So when it comes to reviews, you are not supposed to say anything that confirms that they were in the office on that day, that you saw them for treatment, that this was their treatment plan, this was their balance, XYZ. What you can do is address it in the general terms, and it gets back to your policies, right? Like the example of the cancellation policy review that I had up, we didn't say anything in terms of, well, yes, your brother had an appointment on Tuesday and he didn't show for that appointment and he didn't show for the appointment last week or the appointment the week before, even if we're not using his name, right?
Right.
You can't say that. We said, we're sorry to hear this information. We have a cancellation policy that requires 48 hours business notice that all of our patients are aware of, right? Getting the point across. It's the same if someone has a treatment question or a treatment complaint. We can't say you have decay on 15, right? What we can say is, we're really sorry to hear that. And we have any records you would like to review with you or your new dentist. We're not confirming we saw you on Tuesday. We're not denying it either, but we have the records we can review for you if you would like to do that.
That clearly showed through the diagnosis,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a key point. Yeah. And I think that that's back to my point that I was saying. I think that by taking that high road, by being forced into taking the high road, I should say, just by nature of the legalities of how we are supposed to respond, I think it really creates a little bit of, you know, you're not going down that rabbit hole with the patient, right? You're not getting into a back and forth with the patient online, right? And we've seen that a number of times, and it's really disgusting when you see it. It never works out well, right? And everyone's always going to try to have the last word, and it just doesn't create a professional image of your practice. And I think as much as you can be vague about it, state your policies, say this is the way we do things. This is not our first time, not our first rodeo. We have set protocols. We have set ways of doing things. We have the proof, whatever it is. Honestly, a lot of these reviews, and we've had this response from patients where they read those reviews, then they read our response, and it actually is a benefit to us. We've had a number of patients, oh, I read your review and it just sounded ridiculous. Or now I know, I know your cancellation policies, or now I know your billing policy, or now I know how many times you went back to an insurance company to appeal something, or whatever it is. You know, you can almost kind of promote yourself a little bit in those responses, even though you're responding to a bad review. So I think really kind of shoot for those.
And financial ones are the biggest ones that are out there. And
They're almost 100%.
And that gets back to the same thing of what you can and can't say. We can't say your insurance denied your crown appeal XYZ. Again, even if you're not using their name, although it's also my favorite thing when they don't put their name on it. And it's a pseudonym. And I'm like, who are you? If you're going to throw it out there, right? You're throwing the first shot. You better put your name on it to at least try to address it, right? And I think us responding also shows like, no one is trying to do a bad job here. What, do we have miscommunications that happen? Of course, we're human. There's things that happen. Maybe we didn't handle it the best way possible, but we're not out to try to screw our patients over here. And so, you know, it's like we're all doing the best that we can with the best intentions. Let's have that conversation. But billing is another example of that. Like, as sense that, you know, hey, our policy is that we appeal for you twice. We provide all the records to your insurance company. The contract is between you and your insurance carrier, right? We're not addressing their individual situation, but these are all of the things that we do. These are all of the records that we provide to your insurance that, yeah, if someone is reading that, they do spend some extra effort trying to gain the benefits that you are due on your behalf. That is what we are trying to do, right? We're not trying to not have insurance pay for your claim. No one is winning in that situation.
Right. And we do everything. We go above and beyond, but we're not going to go above beyond 50 times going back to an insurance company when a lot of times what it comes down to is they opted out of a plan that pays for claims, or they, you know, had a lapse in their insurance a lot of times. They forgot or didn't think it was going to be an issue. Or have a, you know, have some sort of, you know, waiting period or whatever it is, and things that are completely out of our control. So, you know, it a lot of times that's what it comes down to. Yes, they're upset about the situation, but when you show people that you go above and beyond, or you kind of prove it online, you know, generally things aren't as bad as they seem, or the people that are reading those reviews aren't gonna interpret it as bad as that person meant out to be. But I think that also brings up such a big point. I think this is such a painful thing to do, but an incredibly valuable thing to do that we've done a number of times, and it's nothing, no one likes it, but this whole, everything we're talking about on most of these calls is, you know, talking about the things that no one wants to talk about, but reviewing bad reviews with our team.
Yes.
And learning from them, right?
Yes.
And because there's, you know, it, as crazy as some people sound sometimes when they go on rants, there's always learning opportunities.
Yeah.
And I can almost guarantee you that there's very few reviews that we've looked at and we've received, bad reviews I'm talking about, where there isn't something that we could have done better.
Right.
You know, maybe it wasn't 100% our fault, but there's always something that we could have done that a little better. We could have communicated with the patient about what was going on a little bit better, or we could have called the patient back. Maybe it was a communication thing and we just blew it. You know, it happens a lot in every office, you know, and not to say you have to own up to it online. You know, maybe that's not the best, you know, that could be a specific, like you're talking about a legality, but in front of the team, in front of our doctors, in front of everyone, hey, this is what they said. Is there any truth to this? Let's kind of look at the way we're communicating or look at the way we're handling these situations going forward. Let's evaluate it from this lens and how much can we learn from this, even though it's a painful thing to get a bad review.
No, 100%. You're missing out on, as Sam said, on such a valuable learning opportunity. And I think it sets the example on both sides. On the one hand, you have to show a united front to your patients in front of your team members, right? Yeah. I mean, you absolutely have to back them up, and they might be wrong, but this is the family, right? You got to back up the family, and then let's deal with the backstage part of it. Have to show a united front. Otherwise, they are absolutely just going to continue to treat your team like garbage. The flip side of that is you also can't show your team, well, that's just another crazy Karen that, you know, oh, she's, you know, just off on a rant. And, you know, you get to a point where all of a sudden every patient is crazy, right? We've actually banished the word crazy from our practices. When we talk about what the C word is in our practices, it's crazy, because we were in a cycle for a while where every patient was crazy, every day was crazy. It was just crazy on top of crazy. And we had to take a hard look in the mirror that the common theme in that situation, it was us, right? It was us. Not every patient who walks through the door is crazy. And it's also helped us discover some things. I mean, a couple years back, we were really, really struggling with our communications and being able to respond to patients in a timely manner. And we're going to actually be talking about electronic communications a couple weeks from now on the Toolbox Tuesday. But that was a big complaint. Like, hey, it takes them 3 days to return my voicemail because we had so many calls coming in, and they were right. So we had to look at other text options and email options to respond to those people faster. It wasn't all bad, you know, but they felt like they needed an outlet for those things. Some of it has been resolved also. You know, sometimes people just assume, or they're embarrassed or whatever it is, that we don't want to hear from them and we don't want their feedback. So they think that that's a better way to go about it. And we've had many instances where those reviews are taken down. Now, full disclosure, if someone is going to leave a review like that up, they're no longer invited in our practice. And it's not because we don't want the feedback, but if they truly feel that way, then that patient doctor trust has been broken. But we've had plenty that have taken it down. Or my favorites are the ones, if they've already decided to move on and they've really gone off the rails, they'll have a PS or an update to the review based off of what our response is. Once there's a PS, you know, like, just, you should just let it go and just take it down. But they've thought about it, and that's what part of the goal is, along with our team thinking about what we can do for the next time around.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and there's always something to learn from it. And I think we've developed or fine-tuned or even had major shifts in some of our protocols based on a number of reviews that we've had from some topic or another. And a lot of it, like we said before, I mean, almost all of it has to do with communications around finances. And a lot of it's out of our control. Insurance companies are insurance companies, but we can get very, very close, and we can always do a better job in our offices. Every single person can. Yeah. And you might not know what that better job is, but if you're not getting feedback, you're never really going to know a lot of times. And
no, you're not going to start.
Fortunately, a lot of the feedback we get is public, and that's painful, but we have to, if we're not getting any kind of benefit from that, then it truly is damaging, right? But if we can have that damaging part actually be something that's kind of springboards us into something better, into something that improves our practice and the way we communicate, I'm not going to say it's a positive, but it's better than nothing, right? And so, because yes, the people that generally go online, the lion's share of them are very, very happy, and it's all 5-star reviews, and oh my God, this is so great. But if that's all we're getting, and then the patients that are not really satisfied aren't posting negative reviews, right, and generally not telling you either. You know, there's a couple people in the office every once in a while that'll voice their opinion about something, but that might be one of the only places we get constructive feedback.
Right. No, I mean, we're not looking for people to just leave without at least having the opportunity to try to see if we can solve the problem.
And people, you know, most people don't like leaving negative feedback.
Right.
They just don't. They don't want confrontation. You know, they're just going to deal with something. Well, I liked Dr. So-and-so, but this, that, and the other thing were really bad. I didn't like it when his assistant did this. I didn't like it when their billing said this to me, or this took too long, or whatever it is. And they just kind of go down month over month, year over year, not being satisfied with one thing or another. And that's probably happening to hundreds, if not thousands, of patients in your practice. And you'll never get to know until that one crazy person blows the top off of it, right?
Right.
It's not the greatest way to hear about it, but we need to look for ways that we can improve a lot quicker on these instances. Because if it's not a review, it could be something that really damages the practice, like, you know, a lot of patients leaving, or just marketing and not getting new patients, or whatever it is that can truly affect the, you know, the top line and bottom line.
Yeah, the quiet ones are the dangerous ones, right? And most people,
absolutely, yeah.
Most people don't like to change providers, whether it's dentists, medical. It's a big deal for a lot of people. They're comfortable where they are. They know how to get to your office and parking and all the things, you know, that people worry about. But they say statistically that people have connections with 116 people just in their immediate circle of friends and family. If they're not staying online, you don't know what they're running their mouth to all their friends and family. That could all be potential new patients, and that is a one-sided conversation. And yes, we're not going to be able to control that 100%, but we want to do our darndest and not just assume that everything is rainbows and butterflies, because it's not. It's not.
Yeah. Because I forget the exact stat, but it's, you know, if someone is satisfied, they might tell one, probably zero people. If someone is upset about something, they're going to tell everyone they talk to. Yeah. And that's, you know, and the more damaging part of it is people telling their friends and family, like you were talking about. Almost the less damaging one is the online review, because at least you have a platform for responding to that. Like we're discussing, right? If someone goes and tells 10 of their friends at a dinner party about something that they weren't happy, they might've been happy with nine of the things, thrilled with nine of the things. But if the only thing they're talking about is how that one filling hurt like hell, no one's going to your office from that dinner party, at least. Right. And so I think, and that's what's damaging. And you're never going to know about that comment. You're just never going to. Right.
Well, and conversely, I mean, when I'm looking at somewhere online, whether it, you know, it's the restaurant they're going to on Saturday night, or it's a medical provider, whatever the case may be, I also am not looking for the perfect 5-star. They don't have any negative reviews. Right. If I'm looking at that, I'm thinking that's fake. I'm thinking that they found a bot. They found something, especially when no one's even leaving a comment, and it's just a bunch of stars. And they figured out a way to rig the system. That's just not reality. You know?
We've seen dental offices, you know, around that, you know, all of a sudden they had 10 5-star reviews. Now all of a sudden they have 3,000 and no one has a review. Going, okay, what's going on here? Right.
In the last
4 months. Yeah.
I'm not thinking you even saw that many people at that time yet.
Right.
Well, to be continued, as always. Next week, we're going to be talking about kind of following up on this topic, not necessarily just complaints, but patient suggestions. And if you have any feedback for us in the meantime, or you want to talk some more about the offerings that we have or our private client options, you can reach us on all of the social platforms on our website, pathwaydentalsolutions.com, or feel free to email us, connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com. And we will be back next Tuesday. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.